in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. I'd like to read a few verses, and we'll come back and focus probably on verse 6 for a few minutes. Titus chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Paul writing to the pastor, to the minister, Titus, telling him, here are some things that you need to teach, some things that you need to instruct the saints in, so that sound doctrine would be manifest, so that these things would accompany sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. It's very important that our families and our family relationships demonstrate sound teaching, demonstrate these qualities, and demonstrate this arrangement, if you will. Our families are in danger today, and there's a great need for our families to be taught and for everyone in the family to understand their roles and responsibilities and just what part they play in the family. It's especially important that the aged men and aged women understand their responsibilities in teaching the young men and the young women, teaching their children, and within the church, teaching the children in this family. We all have that responsibility. Sometimes our responsibility goes no further than just setting the example. We may not always have the opportunity to teach in word, to be able to sit down with a young person in the church and actually talk to them and teach them and instruct them. But we do have at least the opportunity to set the example by our manner of life. We as a church family, we have aged men, mature men, older men. We have aged women, older, mature women, both not only in natural age, but in spiritual age as well. And it is your responsibility to set the example and to teach these younger men and women. It's critical. It is critical that these things take place. Now, we've spent our time, like I said, the last few weeks talking about mainly the aged women teaching the younger women. I want to think about the young men this morning. We've got a few in the congregation. We also have several young women. Young ladies, it is important that you understand some of these things also, because one of these days, young ladies, you will have your attention turned to some young men. And you need to know what to look for in that young man. Young man, you need to know how you ought to be. But you, young women, you need to know what to look for when your attention is turned by that young man. It's these qualities and characteristics, attributes that you ought to be looking for. Verse 6 says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Now, that's all it says about young men in this one verse, in this passage. I want to think about what direction our young men are going. Young men, I want you to consider, although it'll be difficult for some of you at the age that you are, but I want you to be, you need to be learning now and considering what will be expected of you as you grow into young adulthood. As you grow to be a young man, what's going to be expected of you? We are in dire need of strong leadership in this country. Not only in this country, but in our churches and in our families. It falls upon men, primarily. I'm not a male chauvinist, but it falls upon men having the primary responsibility to be the leaders in the church and to be leaders in the home, and that will equate to being leaders in our nation, leaders in government affairs and civil affairs. I'm not saying that women do not have a place and a role in some of those areas, but men, I submit this to you. One of the reasons that there seems to be many very, good, godly women rising up in places of leadership in different places in the country is because men have failed to do so. Because men have failed to do so. So I don't have a problem with women being in certain positions, but primarily it is the responsibility of men to be the leader. The leader in the home, the leader in the church, and the leader in the nation as a whole. Men, young men, that's the direction you're going to be going one day. You're going to be a leader in your family. You're going to be a leader in the church. You may be a leader in your community. We need to know some of these things. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. I want to think about, first of all, the leadership of men in the family, fathers and husbands. Again, young ladies, you need to know some of these things, because if your attention is turned towards a young man that is not showing many of these characteristics or a willingness to accept the responsibility that will be laid upon him, then your attention needs to be turned in a different direction. If your attention is turned towards a young man who is not willing to accept these responsibilities, then your attention needs to be turned in a different direction. Young men, if you want to grab the attention of a young lady, you be a leader. You be a leader. And we're going to talk about some of those characteristics that make up a leader. It may not get their attention at certain stages, you know, young teens, you know, you're not thinking about a whole lot of that. Different things get our attention when you're young teenagers. But as you become more serious about a long-term lasting relationship, as you become more serious about marriage and adulthood, you become a strong leader and you will get the attention of a good, godly young woman. Would some of you agree with that with me, please? Would you agree with that statement? I think you will draw the attention of a good, godly young woman if you are showing the characteristics of a strong leader. Someone that she can look to. Someone that she can depend on. Someone that will provide and protect and love her. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5. Somewhere in here. It's Ephesians chapter 5. I'm not going to read all of this. We'll read a good bit, though. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife. Now, you might notice I skipped verse 22 that says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. We spent some time on some of this recently, and I don't want to rehash everything from the past. Husbands, you are the head of the family. Young men, one day you will be the leader of the family. What will be your role? What are your responsibilities? It says, you are the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, here's the similarities between a husband and wife and the church and Christ. We are the bride of Christ. Why are we willing to be submissive unto our husband, Christ Jesus the Lord? Because we know what he's done for us. We know the sacrifice he's made for us. We know the love that he has for us. He's demonstrated that by laying his life down. And we are willing because we know that he's not only provided for us, but that he is our protector. We know we can see the love that He has for us, His bride. Now there's the parallel with the family. Husbands, this is the kind of love, this is the role you will be in one day. A role as a husband, one of those responsibilities you will have is to demonstrate your love to your bride, to your wife. And you demonstrate that by sacrificing for her, not only providing for her, but sacrificing for her. A woman, a godly woman, is willing to submit themselves to a godly man who shows this kind of leadership in the home. If everybody understands what their role and responsibility is and all the reasoning and the purpose behind it, then everything's just fine. If a husband tries to be a drill sergeant, everything's not just fine. If the woman tries to take on the role of the husband, that doesn't work either. When we understand our roles and responsibilities, and we're not talking about a hierarchy, we're not talking about an order as far as importance, but we're talking about a structure that God has laid down in His Word. And when that structure is established in the home, and the husbands and wives fulfill the roles and responsibilities that each one of them has, and you've got a beautiful scene, you've got a beautiful thing there, you've got a beautiful family. Not without its problems and not without its troubles, not without its strife from time to time, not without its difficulties and issues. We're all human and all those will still be there. But we've got a foundation in that family that can withstand the problems and the issues and all the things that we have to deal with from day to day. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Husbands, love your wives. Young men, one day you will fill this role as a husband. If you are not willing to demonstrate your love for your bride by laying down your life, by sacrificing, that's the intent here, that's the principle, by sacrificing for her, you're not going to have as happy of a marriage as you could have. You're not going to have, I don't say this as a warning to you, but it's just the way it is. If you're not willing to show your love in this way, in a sacrificial way, you're not going to have a content wife. Can I put it that way? You're not going to have a content wife because she knows there's more that she ought to be receiving from you, husbands. Young men, this is the role you're going to be in. Young men and young women ought not to be getting married until they understand these roles. But it happens all the time. It happened with me and my wife. I don't believe we understood these things fully. I know we didn't understand them fully. It happens all the time, and it's a shame that it happens. It's a shame that we learn these things after we get married. We need to learn them when we're young, and we need to hear them when we're teenagers, and we need to fully understand them as we become young adults before we get married. It'll save a lot of marriages. Would you agree with that? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. There is this role of a husband also. Think about how Christ looks at the church. Christ, there's a couple of different meanings here. One of them, I submit to you, is that when the Word of God is preached within the church, when the Word of God is preached and obeyed, when the Word of God is applied in our lives, it has a cleansing effect. The Word of God has a cleansing effect. Now understand, one aspect of this might be talking about Christ, the living Word, and Him washing us from our sins. I understand that aspect, but I think it's more personal than that. I believe every congregation, the local assembly, this church, this local assembly, when the Word is preached, when the Word is attended to, and the Word of God is applied to your lives, there's a washing, there's a cleansing effect that it has in your life. And Christ looks upon us, His bride, looks upon us in that sense, that we've been washed that we've been cleansed. Now, it has to be done over and over. It has to be repeated time and time again. Husbands, young men, look at the parallel in this. Time and time again, we are called upon, and I hope I can say this right and not be in trouble when I get home this afternoon. Time and time again, we are, as men, as husbands, we are expected to overlook. Now, this goes both ways, but we especially are expected to overlook, not overlook so much, but to be such a leader in the home that we are not going to focus on whatever faults, be they very few, that our wives have. The very few faults, that was good, but the very few faults that our wives have, we're still to overlook, and we're to be such leaders in the home that we're not focused on those very few faults, but we're focused on her goodness, on those good qualities, those good attributes. But as a leader also, we are expecting, just as Christ is expecting out of His bride, just as Christ is expecting out of you, so too, husbands, you should be expecting as a leader, not a dictator, but a leader. You're leading by word and you're leading by example. You're expecting your wife to look at you as a leader, to respect you as the leader. You don't go home this afternoon and say, whatever I say goes. That's not a leader. That's not a leader. Christ provides His bride with everything that His bride needs in order to be what He expects us to be. Can I put it that way? Do you see the parallel now? Do you see the parallel? Young men, you're going to be expected to be such a leader in your home that you will provide everything, first of all, that your bride, your wife, needs in order so that she can be what's expected of her. Your bride, your wife, your help that is meet for you. Help meet, help mate. It doesn't say help mate. Your helper, the one that's right there by your side. Young men, that's what's going to be expected of you one day. And you need to be learning these things. Now, young women, your attention ought to be turned away from a young man that doesn't have those kind of qualities, characteristics, and that willingness to lead your family, to teach your children, if God blesses you with children. What else does he say here? I'd kind of like to move on. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. There's much more there in Ephesians chapter 5, obviously. But let's go to 1 Corinthians and chapter 16. Paul told Titus over there, simply says, young men exhort to be sober-minded. Young men, it's a good time in your life when you're young, teenagers and young adults. You know, it's a great time. New things are coming along all the time, and it can be a difficult time as well, because along with those new experiences are new temptations that you haven't faced before, and those can be difficult. But it's a good time. It's a good time. It's a good time to enjoy. But there has to be, even as young men, as teenagers, and on into a young adulthood, there has to be a serious outlook in life developing in your mind. There has to be that serious outlook in life, okay? Because very soon you will most likely be in this role as a husband, possibly as a father. You'll be a leader. You'll be a leader in the church. You may become a leader in the community. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13.